The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planning professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante at 41 Cross Street. Hope you're doing well. It is the weekend following Mother's Week, or actually several months in the market. And joining us today is my business partner, Marion Gilman, to try to help us navigate through some of the questions we've been getting over the past few weeks, the concerns people are seeing on their statements, and what they should do now. So good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. So,
yeah, all recovered from Mother's Day?
Oh, I'm recovered from Mother's Day and my birthday, too. We had
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah, big weekend.
Yeah, and you know, while we have our listeners on the line, it's actually the first time we can talk about something that we haven't talked about. We had said that we had a big announcement coming around the 6th or 7th of May, and we've been going through dealing with this as well this week. Friedman Financial is now a much bigger company. We've been acquired by a Fortune 500 company, haven't we?
It's been very exciting. Yes, we have. We have a lot of resources accessible to us now.
Yeah, far more resources than we've ever had before.
We certainly do.
And for those of you that are hearing this for the first time, don't you worry. Friedman Financial isn't going anywhere. Marion and I still remain in place to be your financial advisors. We just are owned by a much larger entity, certainly a larger entity, an entity far larger than what Friedman Financial was just a few weeks ago.
That's for certain. And with that comes the benefit of having an exceptional number of investment analysts, as well as all kinds of support systems through this large corporation.
Now,
we're very fortunate.
Yeah, so who acquired us? We were actually acquired by the same company that you've heard many times on this radio show. It's a company with whom we've had a partnership with for 32 years. Actually, a little bit more than that if I back up to the days when my father was with the company. The company is LPL Financial, and LPL and I talked about 6 months ago or so, and they were looking for a firm of their 20,000 advisors to say, how do we create an environment for our independent investment advisors to be able to remain independent and serve their clients to the fullest extent of independence that they can, but not have to worry about the day-to-day operations of a practice? And LPL came to us and they said, you know, of the firms that we've worked with for decades, you know, you guys are a top leading advisory firm. You provide solid financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all in the area. We love your business practice. We want to learn more and be able to scale what you've been able to do for some of our other advisors. And we'd like to lift off the burden of all of that business responsibilities.
And the regulatory issues, which are a huge burden.
What have those been like, Mary?
Yeah, well, you know, over the years, so back in 2012, when we became a registered investment advisor. So what happened then was we registered directly with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. And so we had to provide reports about everything we did in the firm directly to the SEC, and that was very burdensome for a small firm. And as you know, in many other areas as well, the regulatory obligations have become more and more onerous over time, and particularly over these past 10 years. So for us, it just worked out great to have somebody take that off the plate for us.
Yeah, and we've been wanting to, you know, we try to do our very best to spend as much time we can with our clients. We use social media, we use our newsletter, we use this radio show as a platform for continuing to be able to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. But during the day-to-day operations of our office, we have to manage not only regulatory, we have to manage the technology in our office.
That's true.
We have to manage HR responsibilities and managing our own 401k, not about investing it, but reporting it properly, making sure that appropriate amounts of money are deposited into all of our employee accounts, managing marketing, managing business operations like paying the rent and buying paper and pens and a desk and fixing the air conditioner when it goes bad. So all of those things, not our problem anymore, right?
That's exactly right. And cumulatively, I mean, each individual item doesn't take a long time, but when you add it all up, it can be a huge portion of your week. And Mark and I are at the point where we just wanted to spend our time with the clients and do what we love to do, which is work with our clients.
Yeah, it's been a huge weight lifted off our shoulders, and LPL has been a tremendous partner in trying to create that bridge and transition point for them to lift this operations work off of us and for us to just serve our clients. It's been very interesting. We're 1 week in. Really, from our clients' perspective, there's no change.
No.
But from us, we've certainly seen a change. We have new laptops, right?
It's very exciting. It's a challenge every day.
Well, just as we were trying to do this radio show, we're trying to figure out, oh my goodness, where's the software to record this radio show? Because we are not live in studio this Sunday, just letting you know. Today is Tuesday the 10th. And we are coming to you, we're recording today because actually I'm going to be away for a couple days this weekend. My son Jerry is graduating from University of Miami, so we thought we would do the show a little early.
Very exciting news, and that's three now that have graduated from college,
yeah,
right?
There's still two more in college. Two more there. So, we've tried our very best to manage that, but managing, you know, financial expenses is one thing, but trying to manage and navigate through this challenging period of time in the market, certainly since the beginning of the year, has been very eye-opening. And many people, talking about eye-opening, they got their statements this past week, and many people were surprised to see how much their account had dropped in just 1 month.
Right. April was really a devastating month. We actually had a little reprieve in March. So January and February were down months. And March was slightly up, not a lot, but somewhat, you know, so we didn't see another decline in March, but April took it all back. So we're back down to the lows of the year at this point.
But just of the year, right?
Of the year. And you really want to keep that in mind, because in all honesty, and this is not as of today's statistic, but as of 2 days ago, we were actually still positive. For if you looked at a one-year horizon, we were still positive. So the market was up just under 1% for a one-year time frame as of Friday.
And we need to remind our clients, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this and asking you to really start to think rationally about what's been going on. But when we invest, investing isn't for 1 month. Or for 3 months or 6 months, is it, Marion?
Never. And we tell every client, and all of you should take the same advice, that is, if you're going to need the money within a year or even 2 years, and you can't afford to lose any of it, you should not be investing that money.
Right.
And that's the bottom line.
And I can't tell you how many times we have told people who come to us, they say, Mark, I've got a bunch of cash around. I'm probably not going to need it for 6 months or a year. I'd love to earn something on it. The market's been doing pretty good. What should I do with it? And our advice has always been, what, Mary?
Bank account.
And they think we're nuts. And they go and they find an advisor, or they go to an E-Trade or a Robinhood account, and they say, well, if Mark and Marion aren't going to invest the money, I'll just try to do it myself. And then what happens?
Well, you know, there is a possibility you could make money on that. You could make something on that money. It could grow over that one-year horizon, but is definitely not guaranteed. The only guaranteed investment is a CD at the bank, some kind of money market at the bank. That's guaranteed and FDIC insured.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, great example is just today, I got a phone call from a client of ours who calls me up and he says to me, Mark, we were going to spend $100,000 on a project for our kitchen. It's been taking about a year. We took out an equity loan, and we took out a $100,000 equity loan. Now we've basically finished the project. I'm arguing with my wife because I want to still take $100,000 out of my account and pay off the equity loan. And she's saying, why would you do that? why would you do that right now? And he says, because that was my plan, was to pay it off. And I said, are you still sure you want to do that, despite the fact that you just called me and told me how much your account is down? Why would you want to do that? And he says, well, that was part of my plan. I said, well, sometimes plans change. And I said, how much money do you have sitting in the bank? He says, oh, about $125,000 right now. So I said, so why wouldn't you take some of that money and take money from the bank account, pay down some of your equity loan, and give your investment account some time to recoup a little bit? And I said, oh, and by the way, what's the interest rate that you have on your equity loan? He says, right now it's 2.25. Now, it's not going to stay at that level, but right now it's 2.25. So 2.25. So Marion, what kind of advice would you tell him?
Oh, I mean, he can, you know, as long as you can well afford those interest payments, because remember, on an equity line, you usually only have to pay the interest. And at 2.25%, why would you want to pay that down right now?
And his response to me was, if I'm going to pay 2.25%, but my account's losing money, why would I want to lose money on both instances?
Well, you guarantee you've lost the money, right, if you sell.
Right.
You haven't lost it until you sell.
It's only on paper, and it doesn't make you feel good. And part of our job as financial advisors is to be rational during emotional times. And these are definitely emotional times. So the advice that I had given to him is, I said, look, if you want to pay off the equity loan, I said, how long could you imagine waiting to pay it off? He says, I'd love to get it paid off in a year. I said, so great. I said, why don't you take $5,000 from your bank account, send it for the equity loan. Now he says, yeah, but I'll still have $95,000 outstanding. I said, yes, you will. And next month, maybe you take another $5,000. And over time, let's see how long it takes for the market to come back. Now, we don't know how long the market's going to come back, but what I do know is it will come back.
That's for sure.
Now, if you've been an investor, like we've told people, in individual stocks, that likelihood of it coming back at a pace that you might want it to come back, or even to the level where you think those stock prices could go, may not happen.
That's correct.
And this is where professional money management comes into play. And, you know, I thought, Marion, maybe you could share some thoughts on the value of investing in a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund or an index fund, such that it's not about you and me chasing after some hot growth stock or some currency product or whatever it might be. What is some of the advantages that a mutual fund manager or a portfolio manager bring to the table, especially during times like these?
Right. So one of the things, as Mark just said, you know, if you invest in any individual stock, anything can happen to that company. And around here, we have a perfect example. And I would say that the best example is GE stock. Everybody thought GE stock was just...
It was a mutual fund, right?
Fabulous, yes.
Is that what they called it?
Of course. It could never go down. And honestly, that was true for many, many years. It just kept going up. And it was a very diversified company. So you did have that element of being, well, it's almost a mutual fund because they were in so many businesses. But in 2001, 2002, that stock started to go down and it has never recovered. It was $60 a share back in 2000 and it never got back to that level. It has slowly declined over time. But any individual stock can do that. When you're investing in a mutual fund or you're investing in an index fund, you have a collection of stocks. So it's very unusual to have that massive of a decline in a stock, so in a mutual fund, as opposed to what you might see in a stock. An individual stock can go to zero. It would be highly unlikely for a mutual fund that invests in the S&P 500 to go to zero. Think about that. The S&P 500 is made up of the 500 largest companies in the U.S. So what you're saying, if you're saying that mutual fund would go to zero, is that 500 of the largest companies in the U.S. have now all gone bankrupt and gone to zero. It, you know, honestly, if you think that's going to happen, you shouldn't be worried about your money because you will have much bigger things to worry about.
That's absolutely right. And it's, and you know, when you think about, people always think, will I lose all my money? Well, yeah, you could lose all of your money if you choose to buy an individual stock or even some individual stocks.
Sure.
It's a possibility.
Yep.
When you buy a mutual fund that is a collection of stocks, generally the mutual fund or the exchange-traded fund or the index fund is holding competitors of a product.
Right.
So you can look at it a few different ways. I mean, one is the fact that you could say, okay, I'm buying a stock, a fund that has all growth stocks. And right now, growth stocks are really taking it on the chin.
Right.
So many of them are going down. But some may not be going down as much as others. But what if you bought a competing product? And let's say you had a choice of a mutual fund, if you had a mutual fund and it owned both Coke and Pepsi. And all of a sudden on the news, you read that someone cracked open a can of Coke in a classroom and they drank it, there was poison in it, and they died. How many people think that they would rush to buy more Coca-Cola? And what do you think would happen to the stock price? I think we all know that stock price would likely go down because of perception. Not that the product isn't bad, but it is a perception. But perhaps Pepsi would benefit. In a mutual fund, you'd get an offset, right?
That's exactly right. And also in most mutual funds, or many mutual funds, I should say, you have a diversity of industries as well. So it wouldn't only be the beverage industry, because, you know, what if something happened in the beverage industry? Let's say sugar costs went way up, which they have, and prices, you know, just skyrocket astronomically. Well, you have other industries that are probably within, you have stocks from other industries within that fund that are probably doing well. And it might be a substitute product. It might be a company that, you know, bottles water, right?
Right. So what's contributing this to this market volatility? Could it be inflation? Could it be interest rates? Could it be the stock market? Could it be Russia and the Ukraine? Yes, 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 yes. And maybe other things too. But we'll talk about those when we get back. I know we went long in our first segment, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, and I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman, who is our specialist when it comes to understanding everything that's going on in the world, right, Marion? You just know it all.
Absolutely.
You are like Yoda. You know it all.
There you go. I have that crystal ball in my office. You've seen it.
Mine's
right?
Broken.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Broke a long time ago.
Right. So, I wish.
So Marion was going to bring us a little bit up to date on some thoughts that we have concerning this craziness in the market. Are we concerned? Should we be concerned? I mean, how should people play it? They're getting their statements. They're not looking very attractive right now. Certainly, if they've even invested in what's called a well-balanced portfolio, the portfolios are down in a lot of different areas. It's not one particular area, but a lot of areas. Nothing's being treated very kindly these days. So how do you play this, Marion? What are you telling people?
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's the bottom line. The stock market goes up and it goes down. And so, you know, that is just the way things work. So we have to expect that. As of, as of yesterday, the stock market was down 14%.
Well, now, when you say yesterday, Marion, let's people know where we are.
I apologize. So that would be as of
the 9th of May, 2022.
The 9th of May, 2022.
Right.
It was down 14%. For this year, for 2022. And so when we look at a market that's down 14%, the way they term that is a correction. It is not a recession. It's not a dramatic fall. It's not a plummeting of the market, as the newspaper will tell you. It is something very normal that happens usually once a year.
So you're saying it's normal for markets to drop more than 10% any time in a given year?
Anywhere between 10 and 20% is a very normal market correction. And that typically happens once a year.
But it hasn't happened over the past 3 years, though, Marion.
Well, it has happened.
Oh, actually, you're right.
In 2020, If you recall, in March of 2020, the market was down for year to date. I think it was around March 23rd. It was down 35%.
Yeah, we know what date it was. It was my daughter Mindy and Alana's birthday, March 23rd. And that was because of the coronavirus. And it dropped so quickly.
And honestly, at that time, so right now, everything is dropping because very frequently when you see stocks decline, bonds don't decline. So bonds stay relatively stable. They're a stabilizing force within the portfolio. So your overall portfolio, if it's balanced between stocks and bonds, doesn't decline precipitously. So if you had a 60-40 portfolio, say, and stocks are down 14%, but bonds were pretty even or maybe even up a little, maybe your portfolio was down 9 to 10%. Well, both in March of 2020 and today, bonds have gone down as well. And so bonds have seen a decline of close to 10% year to date in 2022.
But why have bonds gone down when people think that bonds are generally the, and I'm using quotation marks, the safer investment?
Well, so because the bonds react to interest rate increases. And so what's going on right now is that the Federal Reserve has been raising interest rates. They started a couple months ago, and they have announced that they are going to continue to raise interest rates.
What does that mean, that interest rates are going to go up?
So the Federal Reserve has set an interest rate, and that rate is what everything is priced off of. So high-quality bonds are priced off of that interest rate. It's a very short-term interest rate. It's called the Fed funds rate.
So when you say, and I'm trying to just really make this as simple as possible.
Yep.
What do you mean by high-quality bonds?
High-quality bonds are like treasury bonds. Very little likelihood that they would ever default. So they would be able, the government will be able to pay the interest rate on those bonds. And you will also get your money. They will be able to pay it back at the end of the time period. So the way bonds work is when you buy a bond, and think about, many of you probably own double E bonds, you know, savings bonds.
Yeah.
So those are very common to own. The way a bond works is you give whoever it is that you're lending that money to, in the case of EE bonds, say the savings bonds, you give it to the government. And they say, okay, we're going to pay you a certain amount of interest every year. With savings bonds, it's a very low interest rate right now. And I believe it's under 1%. We're going to pay you that interest rate every year. And this bond will mature. It will come, you know, it will come due in, again, a number of years. For savings bonds, it's 20 years. And at that time, we will give you all of your money back. In the interim, you're getting interest on this bond. So with the savings bonds, the interest just gets reinvested into the bond. You buy a savings bond. Let's say you buy a $50 savings bond. You give the government $25. A small amount of interest gets credited twice a year, so over the 20 years. And at the end of time, you get $50.
So who's willing to wait 20 years for $25 to double to $50?
Well, you know, back in the day.
Oh, I know, back in the day. It took 7 years to double your money, right?
It took 7 years.
Everybody still thinks that's going to happen.
And that's not happening anymore.
So you brought up the savings bonds, and I think I'd be remiss if not to not ask you about I-bonds, because everybody's asking about I-bonds.
Right, absolutely.
So what are I-bonds?
I-bonds are a different type of government-issued bond, and they are inflation bonds. So their interest rate depends on the rate of inflation. So
which is pretty high right now.
That's exactly right. So right now, you can buy an I bond and you will get a very high rate of interest. That interest rate resets every 6 months. So if you bought an I bond right now, the rate of interest that you would receive over a one-year horizon is approximately 10%.
Wow.
Which is great.
So why wouldn't everybody do that?
Well, everybody could do that. There's a maximum limit on how much you can buy of I-bonds. Each person, individual, or name,
person, think of yourself as a social security number.
Every social security number, right. Can buy only $10,000 of savings bonds. That's it. So if you had $50,000 that you wanted to keep safe and earn 10% interest a year, can't do it.
Right. Well, there's no guarantee that you get 10%. I mean,
well, you get right now, because of what the interest rate was that you're starting at, mm-hmm. and what it's likely to be given the inflation we've seen. Right now, for a year, you will likely get 10% average rate.
Well, but you just said to me that it resets every 6 months.
It does.
So if someone says that it's looking to produce a 10% rate of return, and I'm just trying to be very particular here because I don't want people walking away from the show saying, oh my God,
right.
let's go out and get 10% bonds
right.
that are going right. to pay us all this money.
That's
I
right.
just want to set the expectation here.
Right.
Yes, you could potentially get 10% on an annualized rate.
For one year.
But
that's it.
The only thing that they're going to be certain on is call it 5% on your money for the first 6 months.
That's correct.
Because in 6 months, they're going to reset it again. It's based on an annual number of, say, 10%. And it's not right. that high, folks. It's a little bit less than that.
Right.
Am I saying that correctly, Marion? And correct me if I'm...
No. You are saying that correctly. It's slightly higher right now. And because of the way you were buying these bonds, with where you are in the interim period, that's why you can sort of know what it would was paying initially and then what it's going to reset to.
But you don't know.
It's not a guarantee.
Right. And you don't know what the interest rate's going to be 2 or 3 years from now, do you?
Oh, most definitely not. And if you want to sell that bond within 5 years, before 5 years are up, then you have to give back 3 months of interest. There is a penalty for selling.
So if you were looking to input some cash that you had aside and you say, well, I can get 10%, 8%, whatever that rate might be, and buy a treasury thinking that, well, I'll just buy it for a year because I'll need the money in a year for my house. That's not a good move, is it?
That is definitely not a good move.
No, it's
absolutely not. Because, again, because that resets, I mean, over the past 7 or 8 years, the interest on those I bonds has been pitiful.
Right.
You never would have wanted. As a matter of fact, the base interest rate has been zero. For many years. And all you're getting is a couple of years ago, you were getting much less than 1%. So remember that inflation component is added into the bond every 6 months. It resets every 6 months, and you don't know what that will be.
So even at $10,000 increments per person, are we having a line out our door of people trying to buy I bonds here at the office?
No, we don't. We are not.
Why is there not a line here, Mary?
Well, again, remember, it's first of all, we can't sell them.
Well, that's the big thing. You can't buy the I bond here.
You have to go directly to the U.S. Treasury to buy these. So that's how you have to buy an I-bond.
Right, you can't buy them through us.
No, you cannot.
You can't keep them in your brokerage account.
You can't buy them through a bank, the local bank. You can't do that either.
Right.
So, you have to go directly to the Treasury, set up an account there, and then it's monitored through them.
Yeah.
So it's a pain.
It's a pain for, $10,000 is a lot of money.
Right.
But even 10% on $10,000 is $1,000 over the course of the year. Don't get me wrong. That's a lot of money. And especially when you're looking at a market that we're in right now that is so volatile. People are saying, I've got to find some other solution, something other than the bank. Maybe this I-bond option is right for me. Well, make sure that if you think that it does make sense for you, that it fits appropriately into your overall financial situation.
Right. But do remember, if you want to sell that after a year, you have to hold it for a year. Anyways, and if you want to sell it, you're giving back $250 of that $1,000 because it's 3 months' interest you have to give back.
And now there's many people that seem to think that inflation is going to stay at this level forever. What do you think, Mary?
Oh, it's interesting because I read a lot of statistics on this and all. And whenever inflation gets above 5%, even back in the 70s when we saw runaway inflation, whenever it gets above 5%, it becomes very volatile. So it's not as if inflation has stayed that high for year after year after year. I recall the 1980s, and in the early 1980s, there were CD rates at 18%, a one-year CD. But the next year, you couldn't get 18% anymore. I mean, it started dropping. So it had gone up gradually, and then it went down gradually. Mm-hmm. But it didn't stay at that level. Could inflation stay above 2%? Sure, it could. Is it going to stay above 5%? Probably not long term.
Well, that's a lot of inflation talking, a lot of numbers talking, a lot of...
I know.
But this is the stuff that we think about on a regular basis in trying to provide you the advice that you deserve when you're starting to think about your financial future. Well, what we want to do is we want to take a quick break. It's we've been going a little bit long on each of these segments just because I love having Marion here. She provides such great insight and information to us. If you're interested, we do put out a free weekly newsletter every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers.
And we're still doing that.
We still are, yeah. Under our new arrangement, we're still doing it. More than, we started March of 2008. When the market was down during the financial crisis,
we started that. That was another time we saw volatility.
Right. And people said, should we get out? And good thing you didn't.
I know.
If you want to get our free weekly newsletter, go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address, and all you got to do is hit send. And every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, you will get a newsletter landing right in your inbox filled with financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with more Dollars and Cents right here on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA and SIPC.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall. And just above Daniela's Ristorante. And today, special guest in studio with me. Actually, we're not in today. We're actually taping this on Tuesday, May 10th.
We're in the office studio.
We're in the office studio. That's right. And that voice you just heard is my business partner, Marion Gilman. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning.
Yeah, actually, we're actually taping in the afternoon. I can't even say good morning, can we?
Well, that's okay.
We'll fake everybody up because it's there morning for our listeners. And finally, the weather is starting to break. It's going to be beautiful weather this weekend.
It better be.
You're absolutely right.
I'm so tired of cold weather. Oh. Waking up, I mean, it was 39 degrees one morning this week. It's May.
Yeah, but the wind has been what's killed us, right?
Oh, I know. Even today, it's windy out.
Yeah, can we blame that on global warming?
I think so.
Yeah, everyone. someone will certainly find a reason to blame it on. Speaking about things that I learned, hey, so this past weekend, I did something that I have never done in my 56 years, and I turned 56 years old on Saturday. I went to the Salem Witch Museum in Salem, and if you haven't gone, you might think it's kind of hokey, but I think they do a super, super job there, and it's a great story. And I will tell you, if you go, I think the second half of the show that they do is even better than the first half because it allows you to think about how the thought of what witches were in the 1600s are has changed over the past four centuries. And what we think of witches, when you think about the Wizard of Oz, you think about the Wicked Witch of the West. But then you see the musical Wicked and you say, oh, there were good witches too. But did you know that the Wicked Witch of the West had a green face? And when you see a green face, you think Wicked Witch had a green face because MGM was testing out Technicolor that year. And so they decided to make the witch look evil. And then you think about witches in Harry Potter. and how witches can be good. They can be smart. They can be teachers. They can be professors. Witchcraft is viewed very differently. And they have a whole segment about how certain people, industries, segments have become scapegoats to certain instances based upon the way people viewed information. I'm telling you, if you've got nothing to do on an afternoon and you want to just take a tour over to the Salem Witch Museum, strongly encourage you to do it. Listen very carefully to the second half of how witchcraft became the what it became in the 1600s. And as you listen to the story, you're going to think to yourself, am I living in witchcraft times today? Because they called the 1600s, the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, the centuries of anxiety. And I tend to believe that today, with all that's going on in the world, that we are living in another century of high anxiety. I shared the stories with you, Mary.
Probably true, yes.
It's just worth a visit. So
absolutely. And you know, as people who grew up here, as both of us did,
yep.
We just don't take advantage of the resources at our disposal.
No.
And you know, tourists come into town and they're enamored of all the history and the museums and all this stuff. And you and I just don't spend, at least I don't spend enough time doing things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, so I did it because a friend was in town.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, they're great storytellers.
Yeah.
And it's not a video game, folks. It's something that you're just going to be kind of immersed in it, and you listen, and you learn. And I think they do a great yeah. job. So
Have an open mind.
Yeah, shout out to the Salem Witch Museum for what they're doing. But, you know, transitioning from witches and scary times, we are in scary times right now. people opened up their statements this past week, and they go,
yikes.
Oh my God, did you see how much I lost in just a month?
Yeah.
The market's down, right?
Last I looked, it was. Absolutely, yes. I mean, you know what? But you need to really step back and say, yes, the market's down. This has happened to us before. It's happened many times before. Markets go down. Markets go back up. And we, you know, in the previous segment, Mark, we were talking about March 23rd of 2020
right.
when COVID hit. And the market was down considerably more than it is today. Today it's down about 14%. Then it was down about 35% as measured by the S&P 500. So what happened then? If you looked at that and you panicked and you said, I got to sell out, within what, 4 months, it had recovered. I mean, it was so quick.
Think about how uncertain times were in
yes.
March. Uncertain. We were going to actually be told to go into our houses and not get out.
And
businesses were shut down.
Everybody would do it.
Right. But businesses shut down.
Yes,
people were out
completely.
Of work. And unemployment went, I don't even know what it went to,
18%. I think it was. Yeah.
Unemployment. Today, unemployment is near its all-time low level. And by the way, folks, there's two jobs out there for every one person looking for a job. So finding
people,
a job.
And they're raising wages to get people.
Right, to attract people to go.
That's exactly right.
And now people are saying, well, they're raising wages because the cost of goods is so expensive.
I think might be the other way around.
You never know. You could look at this in so many different ways. But I will tell you, I think our future is far more certain today than what it was in March of 2020.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we saw a stock market last year that just went crazy. Everything was going up. And, you know, if you step back and look at what's going on in the market today, a lot of what we see, we've seen huge declines in technology stocks. And these were stocks that during the pandemic, when everybody was in the house, they were buying those items.
Peloton. Exactly.
We went to Zoom technology. You know, we had Zoom meetings with all of the clients. We had never used Zoom before.
Think of DoorDash and all of these companies that just exploded. I mean, Tesla, we heard about Tesla going up because you were going to be able to use electricity. You didn't need gasoline, right? All different reasons for how technology was playing into it. Now, are we recommending any of those stocks? No. And by the way, we never did either.
We never recommended individual stocks. Any individual
stocks. But I think it's only reasonable to think rationally when you step back and you say, geez, how many more people could buy a Peloton bike? You know, back in the middle of the COVID, people were complaining, it's taking me 6 weeks for me to get my Peloton bike. And people were still investing in Peloton because, oh my goodness, the Peloton experience was great for you to be able to go into New York City and go into the gym with the with the cycler.
Sure.
And be part of it. And they were in a room all by themselves speaking to a screen. And people were like, I got to get more of this. Got to get more of this. If you didn't think that was going to settle down at some point.
Right.
And...
Well, it's I know you, like me, enjoy going out to dinner,
right,
or out to lunch or whatever it might be. I love going to restaurants. It's an experience. And yes, during the pandemic, we couldn't go to restaurants, but and people were ordering in. So you had DoorDash that's doing this booming business. But that's all changed once the restaurants opened up again. People want to be back out there. They want to be in a restaurant. They want to be enjoying the whole atmosphere of the restaurant, being served, the whole experience.
Yeah, but you know, the bigger thing that you and I may not feel individually, unless you're doing a home improvement project at your house and you know that they can't get a couch or can't get a part.
Right.
The corporations are the ones that are really struggling as they're trying to grow their businesses. Because they're trying to buy, I don't know, 1,000 televisions or 1,000, you know, a 1,000 cars, 1,000 phone systems, whatever it is, and they simply can't get them. And so basic school of thought in business is when you don't have enough of a supply and there is a high demand for the product, what happens?
Prices go up.
And
everybody's in competition. It's sort of, if you think of going to an auction house and there's some item that everybody wants, they stop bidding on it and they bid up the price. It's like the housing market right now.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
These houses go on the market and there are bidding wars.
Right. And how long do we think that is going to happen?
Well, and you know, I was listening on the radio this morning, they're talking about all these people who are waiving the inspections so they get the house.
And they're still doing that at
yes.
these incredibly high prices.
Yeah.
And what we've seen in just a matter of 6 months is mortgage rates go from 2% to 5%.
That's right.
And the pool of people who have the ability to pay the mortgages on some of these properties is beginning to shrink. And the other thing that I'm finding kind of interesting is people are paying $1 million for a house. I mean, they think nothing of it to pay $1 million for a house. Oh, don't worry. Even if I've saved $200,000, I'll get an $800,000 mortgage. And good for you. Maybe you can afford that. Maybe you have the money. What people don't think about, though, is what does it cost to maintain the house? It's not just about the mortgage anymore. What is the property tax? Did you see how much my property tax went up? Well, why are property taxes going up? Simply because the assessed value in your house, you said the house is worth $1 million. Well, now you're going to pay taxes on $1 million.
That's exactly right. And you know, that's one of the things for years we've discussed with people about buying second homes. And a lot of them have plenty of money, very, you know, sufficient resources to buy that home initially. It's the ongoing cost of maintaining that home that can be a struggle.
It gets really forgotten.
Yes.
And more and more people.
That's exactly right.
But more and more people like to travel these days.
Yes.
I know when I was a kid, you know, traveling for us was in the backseat of the station wagon.
Right.
Going in a plane was something that was unheard of as a kid. We might even rent an RV, but people hop on planes daily now.
Yeah.
to just go around and do things. I think the decision to buy a second home as a vacation property with hopes that the kids will come to visit or you'll spend a lot of time there might be very short-lived.
Right.
It might be fun for a year or two, but ultimately people thinking, oh, don't worry, I can just Airbnb it. That's what I'll do. I'll Airbnb it. Is that really what you're trying to do? I don't know. I think it's a very challenging time.
I think so,
too. For real estate, especially.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it can't continue. I don't know that it's, you know, in terms of prices of homes, I don't think they're going back to where they were because there is a you know, not much supply in the market
right.
either. We haven't built a lot of new homes over the past however many years, and particularly in congested communities like there are in the Northeast and all. So there's not a huge amount of land. But that being said, I can't imagine housing prices can continue on the way they're going.
I agree. But there's so much to talk about with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
We've got to take a quick break again. But let's talk about when we get back. Let's give our listeners some advice of what we're thinking again. We'll kind of wrap it all up there in the last segment. Let them know what we're thinking, what they should be doing, how they should be thinking about their own financial life, with statements coming in, with the headlines that come across the news, and basically knowing that they're going to live a long time. How do you manage life during a volatile period in the markets. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante on 41 Cross Street. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And joining me today in studio, in our office studio, home office studio now, he is my business partner, Marion Gilman, always here to provide great insight and advice, especially during these turbulent times in the market. Welcome, Marion.
Nice to be here.
Well, I've already welcomed you a few times. I mean, our final segment. We've got about 10 or 11 minutes to share some thoughts with our listeners of what kind of advice are you telling people right now? Because, our phones have been a little busier than normal. I mean, people are asking. They're a little nervous and they need to be calmed down a little bit. But I will tell you, every single time we talk to a client, they're always so appreciative because they said, you know what? You become the rational voice during these emotional times because I'm listening to my son, I'm listening to my mother, my neighbor, my coworker, and they're all frantic and they're all nervous because you know what? They don't have a resource or a person to turn to.
Right.
So I pick up the phone and I call you. And, you know, I think we've served our clients quite well since 1968 when my father started this firm. We've had a lot of ups and downs. And is this time different? I don't think so. Not at all. What do you think?
I would totally agree. And honestly, if you're talking to your kids should be buying and investing their money right now. Because this is for people who are accumulating money. They're in the accumulation phase and they need it to grow over time. This is a great time to be investing. So, you know, you have to look at it both ways.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because they were saying, I forget what report I read, but most young people who have started investing over the past couple of years are all in a situation right now where they're losing money.
Oh, sure.
Because they've tried to chase all of the hot stuff that's going on,
that's
whether
right.
It's these cryptocurrencies, whether it's these startup companies, these IPOs that show up, these companies that exist, that trade on the stock market, that have never done a dollar of revenue. But they think, you know, they're buying, they don't have to work for a startup, they'll just invest in these startups. And man, are they being surprised these days. And you know what? These are hard lessons to learn.
They really are when you're young. And when you're young, because you probably don't have a lot of money, so what you lose is actually, you know, relatively speaking, a very important component of your net worth. But realistically, as we tell everyone, if you can't afford to lose it, you shouldn't be investing, particularly in individual stocks.
Yeah, and when we say lose it, we're not saying lose all your money, because if you're structuring a portfolio that's appropriate for your situation, that's aligned with a financial plan, you're not going to be in a situation where you will lose all of your money. I mean, if you did, that means every business in America goes out of business. I mean, what would you do? I mean, we actually considered that. Remember that two years ago in March, we said, all these businesses are shutting down.
And actually back then, they could have, right?
And oh my goodness. Who knew? Where do you get toilet paper and paper towels?
Right. Amazon.
Well, but remember the rush that people had?
Because
no one was producing toilet paper and paper towels.
You went to Costco and the shelves were bare.
Empty. We're not in that situation.
When did we ever see that, right?
We're not in that kind of a situation.
We are not.
And even though, you know, toilet paper companies might not have been able to produce that, what companies were making money? The pharmaceutical companies were having to come up with new ideas.
For sure.
And but you needed to have the plastics and the metals to make the needles and, you know, and the paper to wrap the needles and the gowns and the PPE that I guess we called it.
PPE.
We got really good at acronyms back then, didn't
there
we?
There you go.
But people that have been invested now and they see their statements and they see that they're down and they worry, I oftentimes remind them, how long have you been invested? And certainly in our office, I mean, our clients, some of them have been here for 30 plus years.
Easily.
But generally, when we're talking to our clients, we're going to give you some performance numbers that rolls over 3 years. So you can see how you're doing over 3 years. And when you see that picture, you say, you know what? Even though I'm down, I'm not happy I'm down. No one's happy that they're down. I'm still up rather significantly from where I was 3 years ago.
That is very true.
And 3 years ago was before COVID.
That's right.
And 3 years ago was, you know, we had a different president in office and people thought other things, you know, people thought differently. In 2018, 2008, we had all sorts of things. We've had 9/11, we've had wars. We're in a war right now.
We are.
And that is contributing in part to...
particularly to energy prices.
Right. Well, you know, I spoke to somebody this past week who called me up. And he says to me, Mark, everything in my portfolio is going down except for the energy stocks that I bought years ago. Why wouldn't I just take all of my money and sell out of my portfolio and buy these energy stocks that I've owned forever? And I said, do you think gas prices are going to $9 a gallon? He says, absolutely not. I said, do you think gas prices are going to stay at $4 a gallon a year from now? He says, probably not. I said, well, your energy stocks have probably peaked out because when the gas prices start to come back down, and they will when there's better production that's going on. I wish we had a pipeline, but that's another story. But when energy production gets better, those energy prices are going to come down.
That's for sure. Always.
And so there's always sectors that win, always sectors that lose. We don't try to chase sectors, do we?
Never. And, you know, to go back, that three-year chart is really amazing to look at because, you know, you had growth at the beginning, you have this huge decline in 2020, and then you have a very rapid recovery and growth. So, you know, it's very instructional, I think. You want to remain rational, but initially, yes, you have to remain rational in emotional times, but an important component of that is setting up an appropriate portfolio in the first place. You do not want all of your money in any one sector, in any one stock, in any one category. You need diversity. You need diversity between stocks and bonds. You need dividend payers. You know, companies that pay dividend. And you need companies that can grow very quickly. I mean, think about it. And yes, a lot of our clients will say, the older clients will say, well, I don't have time to wait.
I don't buy green bananas.
That's right. But they do. And they've been shown this over and over. The people who told us that back in 2008, most of them are still living off their money. You know, so that's the point. Think about how long people are living nowadays. You can't live a successful lifestyle unless you're extremely wealthy if you're not at least keeping up with inflation and hopefully doing a little bit better than that.
And keeping up with inflation is kind of tough right now, isn't it?
Right now, it's very difficult to get a portfolio that's paying you, 6-7% to keep up with inflation is impossible given what's going on in the market.
But given what's going on in the world, do you think inflation will stay at these levels, Marianne?
I don't. And, you know, that's...
What gives you confidence to say that?
You know, and I know the people will say, oh, this time is different, this time is different. And this time is never exactly the same, but it's always similar. So there, you know, if you look back in history, if you look back 100 years in history, no matter during any time frame, you're going to see times when inflation is high. Once it gets over 5%, it never stays over 5%. It gets volatile, it starts to bounce around, and it starts to come back to an equilibrium.
Right. Well, there are only certain sectors of the market that have actually seen significant inflation.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's food prices, we've seen that.
Yep.
Automobile prices and gas prices. Those
and
are the
housing.
Three and housing. So those are the big ones.
Right.
Those are the big ones where we've seen inflation.
Yep.
We've also seen wage increase pretty significantly.
We certainly have.
Right.
So, you know, wage increases are going up. People can afford some of this stuff, you know, to keep up a little bit with it. But again, you're in the 1980s, we had 18% inflation. It didn't hang around that long. What happens is it reverts to a mean. That's what that's called. You know, so you have an equilibrium level of inflation, whether that's 2%, the Fed's target, or 3%. It's not 7%, though.
All right. So one final question before we head out for this show. People are hearing interest rates are going up, inflation is high. They said, so why aren't the banks going to be paying me higher interest rates? Why can't I get, when will I get my 5% CDs again, Marion?
Well, don't hold your breath. That's what
I would
say. Well,
try to explain to people why you would say that.
Because banks act with a lag. They don't have to raise interest rates right away. And just because you see inflation going high, the banks are, you know, they tend to raise the rates on their mortgages, on credit cards, on any kind of loans, but they don't raise the rates that they're paying on CDs or checking accounts or even money market funds. It always happens with a lag. So you will not see that happen until the Fed raises the Federal Reserve goes in. They have been raising rates. They just raised it 0.5%. They raised interest rates at their last meeting.
What does that mean?
Which was last Wednesday. So they have a rate called the Fed funds rate, and bonds in the environment are priced off that Fed funds rate. So back in March, they raised it by 0.25%. They just raised it by 0.5%. So they're anticipating continuing to raise it in smaller increments until they get to about 2% by the end of the year. So their target is 2% or 2.5% by the end of the year. That's not that high. The banks are going to try to raise their rates much over 2%
Great.
By
so,
the end of the
so
year.
So do you think a bank...
If they even do that.
What do you think the chances are of someone being able to get a 2% CD this year?
It depends how long you want to tie up your money. But 2% for a one-year CD, I think would be kind... You might get it. But 2% for a five-year CD, maybe not.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, they expect rates to go back down. I should say 3 or 4% for it.
And I always wonder, and I've always asked the question, who is they?
You know,
and we always say they, and we do it in everything
do. In this case, they are the bank officials who make that decision.
Right, and it could be anybody. So, right. I mean, where do we get our information from a lot of different sources? I appreciate all the work that you do and the reading that you do and studying that you do to provide great advice to our listeners. You're listening to Marion Gilman, my business partner here, who handles most of the investments here in the office and also serves a lot of the financial planning needs of our clients as well. We've got to get out of here and make room for Scott Whitley. I will be back again next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. But before I run, just a reminder, our free weekly newsletter that comes out every Friday. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name and your email address. And next Friday, you will get financial advice in a language you can understand right in your inbox. We're out of here. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you next week. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planning planner, tax professional, or attorney prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.